I love those songs. 1 Corinthians, we're back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. This evening will be a review of sorts. Since we haven't been in Corinthians for a while, we were finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be in chapter 10. And for our text, we'll read verses 14 to 23. If you remember back in that time, Paul was warning the Corinthian church about the dangers of idolatry. Now, you get the picture of the culture in that time. Corinth, a city in Greece, idolatry was rampant. There were idols, temples all over the place, and it was commonplace that the food that was sold in the shambles, and you'll see that word shambles in verse 25, it simply means the meat market where they would sell it, or the booth where they would take the food and sell it. And Paul talks about if you buy something in the shambles, take it and eat, asking no questions. Basically, it's just food. But there was a difference in buying some food and taking it home to eat or going to someone's house and eating. There was a big difference in going and doing that and going into the idol's temple and eating. And so this is all coupled with the Lord's Supper, when we come together and we take the Lord's Supper. And Paul makes a distinction and a comparison or a juxtaposition, like he's going to take and contrast these things. And he says, you can't do both. You can't be going into the idol's temple and being a partaker of food that was just dedicated to the idol. It's just the same thing as coming in and coming to the Lord's table. You can't do both. It's one or the other. And Paul gives these Christians the danger of idolatry. Now, in the larger culture there, and listen, we have to be careful of this. There are customs in the world that we need to be careful that we don't adopt. Jeremiah said that, learn not the way of the heathen. They warn the children of Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, don't learn their customs. Don't worship their idols. Don't do like they do. You're not of the world. But these sins had become so commonplace that the children of God there didn't think anything of it. And listen, sin is never innocuous to us, meaning harmless. It's harmful. And it's most harmful when we do it without realizing, or we do it without conviction, and then we look just like the world. And so we need to be so careful. That's what the God of this world wants. He throws out the bait and he reels us in. We need to be so careful. So it's been a while, so we're going to read and we're going to go over the remainder of chapter 10 here. Verse 14, he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Run from idolatry like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? In other words, you are coming into intimacy with Christ at the table of the Lord. So the blood is the communion of the blood of Christ, or the cup that we bless. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion or the participation or the fellowship of the body of Christ? That's the word koinonia, means fellowship. That word communion means when we come to the table of the Lord, we enter into fellowship with the Lord. We don't come to the table of the Lord to be united to Christ. We come to the table of the Lord because we are united to Christ. There is a union between us and Christ. He is our husband. The Lord, he is our husband. We are the bride. Then he says, for we being many, that is the church, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers, communicants of the altar? Yes, we're intimate with God in partaking of those sacrifices. And then he says, what say I then? So now he's coming back to idolatry. That the idol is anything? or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? And the point here is no, the idol is nothing. The false god is a false god. There is no god. Any false god is like Baal. Baal was back when Elijah challenged them to call Baal and say, go ahead, lick up the sacrifice. And Elijah sat back and twirled his thumbs and he mocked them. He said, maybe your God is sleeping, or maybe he's on a journey. And then he said, let me show you the true and living God. And they got a couple of 50-gallon drums of water, and he says, wet the sacrifice down real good, just so there'll be no mistaking. And God licked up the water and the stones and the sacrifice. And then Elijah brought all those 450 prophets of Baal down to the brook and slew every one of them. There's one God. He's alive and he's real. There is no other God. So Paul says, there is no other idol, but there's something or someone behind the idol. So he says, the idol is nothing. Verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And that's the point. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. And then he says, you cannot drink the cup, verse 21, of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the Lord. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Now, you know what jealousy is, right? And it's one of God's names, by the way. And I'm sure all of you know that. You go in, back in the Old Testament, I can't remember the actual reference, but there's a capital J, and God says, I am jealous. He's a jealous God. Says that actually in the second commandment, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. And we read that this morning, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It speaks of wounded love. You know as well as I do, if you're jealous, think of the jealousy between a husband and a wife if there's infidelity. Well, think of the jealousy of a God for spiritual adultery, where they have one God, one love. And Paul says here, you're going to dabble in idolatry and you're going to go to an idol's temple and you're going to sit down at a feast. And he says, do you provoke or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Listen, and remember, in Christ, you are married to Christ. By partaking of a feast in an idol's temple, you are partaking with devils. And so Paul here is saying, are you trying to make the Lord jealous? Are we stronger than he? And then he transfers his writing to this thing of liberty. Because there were people in Corinth that thought they were at liberty to do things that were sinful. And listen, your liberty of conscience is based on things that are indifferent. Something that's indifferent is something that you do out in the world in which there is no command of God, whether it's good or bad. You make your decision. And you do it. But be careful in the things that you say you have liberty to do, because things that you say that you have liberty to do can actually turn into things that are sinful. So be careful in that which you take your liberties in doing. And that's what Paul says. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Expedient meaning they're not helpful or useful to others or me. They're not edifying. He goes on later in this chapter to say, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's all in the context of this thing of idolatry and things indifferent and things that the Corinthians thought that they had liberty to do. So listen, when you come to the table of the Lord, you are communing intimately with the Lord Jesus Christ when you come to the table of the Lord. In a few weeks, we'll take the Lord's table again. The table of the Lord doesn't bring you into communion with Christ. It is the evidence of your communion with Christ when you come to the table of the Lord. It is the outward manifestation that you are united to Christ. You're married to Christ. It is a demonstration of your love to Christ and Christ alone. We are to love Christ and Christ alone. And remember, when we take the Lord's Supper, we emphasize that there must be union with Christ before communion. Whoever's here, the responsibility is put on everyone that's here. The only ones that are to take the Lord's Supper are those that are united to Christ by faith, born again by the Spirit of God. An unbeliever should not take the Lord's Supper. Now, take that thought into the idol's temple. If you're partaking of a feast in an idol's temple, eating a feast that was dedicated or offered up in praise of the idol, you are communing with and you are a partaker with the idol. You're entering into communion. You say, no, I'm not. Well, it sure looks like it. See, Paul already taught us that the idol is nothing and not a god at all. And food offered unto idols is just ordinary food. He says, if you buy it in a shambles, eat it. If you buy it in the market, eat it. It's fine. But in the idol's temple, remember who is behind the idol, and that is what you must be aware of. And that's what he talks about in verses 18 to 20. It's not so much the idol, it's the devil behind the idol. So understand that, beloved, we cannot be worshipers of God and worshipers of the devil at the same time. We cannot love the God of heaven and the God of this world. We cannot love Christ in the world. There are too many scriptures to go to. We know 1 John 2. You know what it says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, the world and the things that are in the world are the things that the world idolizes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The shiny beauty of the world is what the world wants. It must not be what we want. Now, allow me to bring this thing of idolatry fast forward and apply it in our day, which is the world. Listen, we don't have a bunch of idol temples built around Ponchatoula and Springfield, Tickfaw, Independence, Lacombe. We don't have those things. But we do live in a world full of idols, all courtesy to the God of this world. Full of idols. And Christian, you cannot love God and at the same time love the world. And by the world, I mean, understand the world. It's not saying that you can't go out on the world and see the physical beauty of the world, the Grand Canyon, the Grand Tetons, Mount McKinley. The world is beautiful. You see God's creation. That's not what he's talking about when he says, love not the world. Nothing wrong with going out and looking at the beauty of the creation. That's not what Paul's talking about. What he says, love not the world, he means the world's philosophies, its customs, and its expensive and shiny idols, which are all meant to draw you away from Christ. You cannot eat and drink and commune intimately with the world and also partake and engage in intimacy with Christ. The Christian life is not halting between two opinions. What Paul was preaching to the Corinthians is what you're doing is sin against God. You can't feast in an idol's temple after the feast has been dedicated to a false god, and then the next day come into the church and partake of the Lord's table. You cannot partake of the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. Brethren, that's a practical lesson for us. We cannot go out and love the world and have close, intimate relations in the world and love the world and then come into the church and say that we love Christ. Can't be both. Listen, if this is how you're living the Christian life, know that it is you have a split heart. And Paul says if you're living in the world and you're in love with the world, then you have a divided heart and you are halting between two opinions. Paul gives the example of the children of Israel when they left in the Exodus. And we won't read 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 11. So Paul warned the Corinthian believers against provoking the Lord, which is where we find ourselves now. Are we provoking the Lord to jealousy by partaking of the things that we should not be partaking in the world? Am I provoking the Lord to jealousy? Do I love the world and then come in here and say I love Christ? It can't be. It must not be. And so, brethren, that's for us and for our hearts. That's for us to search in our hearts, rather. So verse 23, Paul transitions to this liberty that the Corinthians, many of them, profess to have. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So Paul already used this reasoning in chapter 6 and verse 12 to teach the saints at Corinth that sexual immorality was not something that they had liberty to partake of. Remember, look, in fact, let's go back just to refresh ourselves, and we'll be able to pick up next time. We'll be caught up, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul uses the same statement as he teaches the Corinthians. He said, fornication is not something indifferent. This is not something that you have liberty to do. But it was a common sin in Corinth, and it had spilled into the church. Just go back to chapter 5. There was a man who was a member of the church who was having a sexually immoral affair. So 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any, that is the power and dominion of any sin. He says, meats for the belly and belly for the meats. Basically what he's saying is if you're hungry, you eat. You satisfy your appetite. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. So he says, yeah, you go and eat when you're hungry, but when you have a sexual desire, you don't just go have sex. That's not normal, and it's sin. And so he says, flee fornication. He says, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, and would also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that the body, your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Now we just started off in chapter 10 and verse 14. And what did Paul say to flee from? Idolatry. He's telling them, run from these sins. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what Paul's telling the Corinthians, listen, fornication was common in the city of Corinth, just like it is today in the world. Fornication, sexual immorality, it's common in the world today. And though it may look different today, the sin of idolatry is also alive and well in the world. These sins had permeated the society at Corinth, and they've permeated our societies today. And so it was viewed, these two sins, fornication and idolatry, they were viewed even by some saints at Corinth as normal, natural, acceptable behavior. And Paul's saying they're not. And you don't have liberty to do these things. They are sin against God. Flee fornication and flee from idolatry. As I was thinking about this, it raised questions in my mind. Are there any sins that are common in my life that are common sins in the world? Sins that they're just common to the world. And are there sins in my life that are the same? Am I coupled with the world in that sense? Beloved, the older we get in Christ, the more mature we are in Christ, the further separated we should become from the world. The further separated we should become from the world. Again, there were those in Corinth who thought they were free or that they had liberty now with this thing of idolatry to go into an idol's temple and partake of the cup of devils and then come to the house of God and partake of the Lord's Supper. And Paul asserted to them, you cannot do this. They were doing it, some of them. But Paul says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And so listen, brethren, we do have liberty in Christ in things that are not forbidden by the commands of God, in things indifferent. But again, the Corinthians were not doing things indifferent. They were taking liberties in things that were sins against God. And listen, when Paul wrote, all things are lawful for me or unto me, he was not promoting an anything goes attitude. He was not saying, hey, whatever you want to do, you do. Just follow your feelings. That's not what he was saying. He was talking about things that the scriptures are not specific about and things that are not specifically forbidden by the word of God. But again, even when we do partake of or do something that is not forbidden in the word of God, the question still needs to be for all of us, is this edifying? Is it expedient? Is it right in the sight of God? To who? To you and to those that are watching you. Because listen, you represent Jesus Christ. So if you're going to take a liberty to do something, remember that you represent the name of Christ. If you openly profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. So ask yourself before you take your liberty, is it helpful? Is it profitable? Helpful and profitable to the kingdom of Christ, to the gospel? Is it beneficial to your soul and to others' souls? Will it advance the kingdom of Christ? And then how does it look? Does it help or hurt and wound or offend a weaker brother in Christ, a brother or a sister in Christ? See, we're not just to think about ourselves, and that's kind of where we're going to close here. We need to think about those that are watching us. And listen, if after you consider this and you take your liberty, not caring that your brother or sister in Christ might be offended, now you are not walking charitably toward your brother and sister in Christ. And so it is not something that is helpful or expedient. And with that, I'd like to finish the chapter. Go back to chapter 10 and verse 23. If you go back to 10:23, and while you get there, I'll just read this to you. This is from Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Every one of us. If you want to know what is the will of God for you and as a child of God, well, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So, beloved, we need to think about others. Paul picks up now and he says in verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Or that word wealth could be another's good. So we must not only be thinking about ourselves. Then he says, and this is in regard to food offered unto idols, whatsoever is sold in the shambles or the meat market, the booth that was on the streets where they sold meat. He said, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and literally this means they invite you to go eat at their house, and you be disposed to go whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Now, let me just show you something real quick. Turn to chapter 8. This same thing, this thing of liberty, 1 Corinthians 8:8. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worst. but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And so because you didn't consider your weaker brother, you wound him and you embolden him to violate his own conscience, which to him is sin. See, we need to think about our weaker brethren. In verse 11, he says, and through thy knowledge shall the weaker brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth by, lest I make my brother to offend. Now listen, it may not be something, it may not be eating that offends the conscience of a weaker brother or sister in Christ, but there may be something that we may do. And when someone's around and we know it's offensive to them, we shouldn't say, well, I've got liberty to do it. It doesn't bother my conscience. Well, that's not being charitable. It's not being charitable. If we know it offends someone, then we should say, don't even make it an issue. Just don't do it. Why? Because you love your brother or sister in Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you, so don't do it to them. And I think that's what Paul's communicating here. And he says there in verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, and this is the remedy for all of this, do all to the glory of God. If you do it to honor and glorify God, then all shall be well. He says, give none offense. Don't cause an offense, neither to Jews, nor to Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as Paul goes back to that thing of not seeking his own, he says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. And he begins in chapter 11 and talks about be followers of me. Listen, that's what we want to be. We want to show the love of Christ. What did the love of Christ demonstrate? He did nothing for himself. He did everything for those that would follow him. You never see someone that Christ refused to help. You'll never see someone. The great book, if I can find it, it's called The I Wills of Christ. When those went to the Lord and they said, Lord, will you come? He says, I will come. And so Christ was always pleasing all men in all things, not being selfish and self-centered and pleasing himself. That ought to be how we are. And especially in this thing of offending someone else's conscience. So I pray that's helpful. I pray that catches us up. Next time we'll pick up in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. So, amen. Well, let's close in prayer. And as always, if you have any questions, please ask. Or if you didn't understand something in some of these texts in the scriptures. All right, well, let's pray for our brother Kevin. Brother Kevin, it's time to say hi to Kevin. So everybody,
Let's see. All right, Kevin, this is for brother Kevin Travis. We love you. Thank you. There's Wheat and Tommy. See, there's Kim. Look, there's Chris and Tammy. There's Mr. Jesse, Miss Bonnie. You can see Charlene, Emma, and Tyler. You see Benny and Deborah. There's Chris and Tammy in the back. There's Kelly. There is Ken. Yvette. There's Yvette over there, and there's Diana. So, and there's Patrick way in the back, see? All right, brother. We love you. Lord bless you.